It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. So I'm going to give you the schedule, and then we'll proceed. Today is kind of like our Wednesday. We usually really start the game preview stuff on Thursday, but we're going to bump that up one day. When you got a game like this of this magnitude, that is the most important game in the AFC, it deserves a little bit extra. So we're going to start our game preview stuff tomorrow. We are still going to talk a little bit of Chiefs and Broncos. We're going to talk about the update regarding where the Royals are going to play in the report earlier that we got from Bob Fesco. We'll do that here coming up in a little bit. Joshua Briscoe is going to be on the show. We are going to play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. I got a chance to catch up with him earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up at around 3:15. We'll also have Matt Verderama Sports Illustrated. He is going to be on the show coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So we got a lot to get into between now and then. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well. We are going to also have a commercial free 5 o'clock hour. I don't know if you guys know this, but KU plays a little bit earlier, so the competition gets off a little earlier. So you know what? We're taking advantage here over at 96.5 The Fan. We are going to be commercial free for the entire 5 o'clock hour. You are going to get more of The Drive, not less of The Drive today. We got to make up for all those Royals games. You're going to get more of The Drive today coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. To quote Eddie Murphy from Coming to America, I am very happy to be here. Rob, give him a pizza.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all over the city. They got some in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
All right, I need you guys to give me a couple of favors. Number one, as you listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. And you know what? Number three, I need you to tell people that today Patrick Mahomes is coming on the show, and we're also going to have a commercial-free 5 o'clock hour. All right, let's start here. I am not saying that people are not telling the truth. I am simply telling you that I don't know who to believe on this topic anymore. And it seems like one of those things, if you ask this side a question, they'll give you this answer. If you ask this side a question, they'll give you a completely different answer. So I, the consumer, the concerned voter, am willing to throw my hands up and say, at this point, I don't know. Some of this is going to be telling you what I know, at least from talking to people behind the scenes. Some of the open is going to be me telling you what I feel from just paying attention to this thing. But let's move forward. Earlier today, Bob Fesco on Fesco in the Morning, Dusty and Fesco, whatever the name of the morning show is now, I want to play for you his update of the stadium future. Here's Bob Fesco.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And I think from what the conversations I was having with a lot of people yesterday, this thing is going to move fast and it's going to move quickly. And we're going to know maybe by the winter meetings where the Royals are breaking ground on their new stadium. And I talked to multiple sources on this now, so I have it confirmed from two different folks about what's going on right now in Kansas City, if you will. And I use the air quotes Kansas City on this one, because from what I've been told, the Royals are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County.
Now, where would that location be?
Well, there are a couple locations that I'm hearing right now. There's a location right inside the 435 loop around Antioch, is what I've been told is one location. And then the location that I think a lot of people are very fond of is 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus. And there, they already have five parking garages that exist.
All right. I'm going to try to tread lightly here, because I don't want this to come off like I am trying to poke holes in Bob Fesco's reporting. I got the utmost respect for Bob Fesco, and I believe that he was told this from people that matter. But what I think is the problem with this story, and is what has been a theme from this story, is someone tells Bob something, someone tells me something, someone tells somebody from the other station something, and we all are just more confused by the developments. I don't believe that any portion of this has moved fast with the Kansas City Royals. So that part from Bob, I just don't believe it, because that hasn't been the case really at any juncture related to this story. We voted on this thing, what, in April? We're heading into Thanksgiving. Rob, have we gotten something meaningful, something tangible that you could hold from the Kansas City Royals? They've thrown out a couple of ideas. Well, what about Washington Square Park? Well, what about up north? Well, what about Kansas? Well, what about this? I don't think the Royals know at this point. So it's hard for me to believe that we go from no information to what we had during voting time, which I think was misinformation, to now thinking that the Royals are going to put something together here in the next 30 to 45 days. The holidays are coming up. Now, maybe the Royals are a little bit different because the winter meetings, but if their job is anything like my job, are people more productive during the holidays or less productive? We all work in an office, right? Or you at least have at some point. Are people more inclined to work on December 10th or less inclined to work as we get closer to the holidays? You got holiday parties coming up, Christmas shopping coming up, New Year's coming around. No, I just don't believe it. Again, not here to poke holes in my brother Bob Fesco. This is not intended to do that. I don't want you guys to take it that way. I'm just trying to take in the information. We had the mayor of Kansas City on last week. He has been steadfast this entire time that the Royals are staying on the Jackson County side. But of course, he's the mayor in Jackson County.
My view is a very simple one, that the Royals will be playing downtown 10 years from now. I have not wavered, because here's the thing that is interesting, right? We've gone through every drama known to man. There was a conversation last January, will Jackson County put it on the ballot? There was the April vote, no. Everybody was, you know, saying all of these horribles are incurring. There was then the Star Bonds vote. Oh, my God, they're leaving tomorrow. Nothing happens. Nothing keeps happening. What we do need to do are a few things. Kansas City government has continued to talk to the Royals. I think I've met with them now. We did the math the other day about 21 times. We're going to continue to have active and robust discussions. I talked to the governor-elect of Missouri today. We're from different political parties, but we have a shared view on the importance of keeping these teams in Kansas City. I think you're going to see a very active effort from him. He is already connected to the current gubernatorial administration, but you know, I think you have a governor-elect going in with this as a priority. It is City Hall's priority. The chat about baseball a lot lately has been, how can the city help handle that, with perhaps a state and county conversation as to the Chiefs. And I think you're going to continue to see more progress in us getting all of this done. I think the Royals want to see that done. Certainly local government does. I think the governor-elect does. Members of the Missouri legislature, I've met with them too, all Republicans. I'm doing my reach across the aisle. This is too big a deal for the state of Missouri and the city of Kansas City.
This is my read on the report from earlier today from Bob Fesco. And again, this is not a knock on Bob Fesco. This is just my read on it this entire time. I maintain that the Royals are not moving to Kansas. This feels to me like what we have seen basically this entire time. The Royals are frustrated with Jackson County or the city of Kansas City for how this thing is coming together. and they continue to throw alternative stadium ideas out there when in their heart of hearts, they really want to be downtown. That is all John Sherman has ever talked about. I don't believe that if you are John Sherman and you help rally up $1 billion to buy the Kansas City Royals, who have a bad television contract, I don't think you did all of that to then move the Royals to 119th and Null. I think you moved them or you bought them with the intention of moving them into the city and putting them around the Sprint Center and putting them around Power and Light and around all the apartments that continue to pop up out of nowhere. They're moving on to 4 Light downtown. Maybe this is just my Kansas City, Missouri. Maybe this is just my Jackson County as a proud resident of somebody who lives on the Missouri side. I refuse to believe that the Royals are doing all of this to move to 119th and Null. And the problems that would exist if they moved to 119th and Null, isn't that kind of the same problems that they have now? Now, I get it. Some of you live on that side and you have said, well, I'm not going out there. There's nothing else to do. Maybe I'll go on the weekend. Isn't that going to be the same case for people that live on the Missouri side? If you're somebody that lives in Lee's Summit, somebody that lives in Blue Springs, somebody that lives in downtown, are you driving out to 119th and all for a Tuesday night game against the Detroit Tigers? The answer is probably not, just based on the history of the Royals and once the newness of the stadium wears off. So we obviously will see. We'll track this thing. I am not anticipating that we are going to get an update on this thing until after the first of the year. I could absolutely be wrong on this thing, but the Royals have taken their sweet time in all of this. I don't think that we are going to go from sort of radio silence from the Royals to now just getting updates and concrete information on this thing coming up in the next 30 days. If there's one thing that the Royals have not given us in 2024, it is concrete information about where they want to play. They've told us they want to play somewhere else. They have never really been strong on where they want to play and what the idea is going to be, other than we would like to be in downtown Kansas City. I also think that the people of Kansas City, Missouri want them to stay. Now, this is a separate conversation for the Chiefs, because I think what the Royals and the Chiefs want are drastically different. But I do think the Royals have been pretty emphatic about one thing. Their desire is to stay in Missouri, and their desire is to be in downtown Kansas City. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Joshua Briscoe, who covers the Chiefs for Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on one of the more exciting regular season wins for the Chiefs during the Mahomes era. Patrick Mahomes coming up in an hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, let's head to the phone lines. This might be a short appearance from Josh Briscoe. It really could be. He's been on thin ice these last couple of weeks for very different reasons. Josh, let's go ahead and get this out of the way early. Drums or flats?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Drums narrowly? I don't have a strong opinion. If you need to hang up on me, I get it.
No, that's perfectly fine. This has been my opinion on this. Is I don't know why we spend so much time debating this. It's like, is a hot dog a sandwich? I don't care. Just give me a good hot dog, and I don't really care what classification you would put it in. I think a hot dog is its own entity. I like flats more than I like drums, but it's chicken. As long as it's cooked well and well-seasoned, I don't really care what part of the bird you give me. I'm going to eat it.
I know you have such a strong three strikes and you're out policy, so when you ask that question, my life and really my childhood flash in front of my eyes, because I've always enjoyed a good, like, a turkey leg, even the drumstick off a rotisserie chicken, like that. That was always just, it was gonna feel like a caveman eating your lunch, you know? And so I still lean drums given the opportunity with wings, but I really do not have that strong of an opinion. I think I've moved in the direction of the flats as I have put away my childish things. But I'm with you. That is not a debate worth wasting our breath over, by and large. I can certainly meet you there.
Okay, so this is the last question, then we'll get to the Chiefs, because you cover the Chiefs of Sports Illustrated. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Denzel Washington was on the Today Show earlier today and said that he is winding down his career. He's only got a handful of movies left, and he's going to step aside, but he is going to be in the next Black Panther movie. I ask you, what is your favorite Denzel Washington movie?
Gladiator 2.
How can that be your favorite movie? You've never seen it.
It's going to be good.
You already have that number one on your list, even though you haven't. That's your favorite Denzel movie. You've never seen it.
Remember the Titans.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. The most standard
that's not,
one.
That's not even true. That's definitely not true. What I hate now is I'm trying to figure out if there was a definite answer that I should have had. And the best thing I could do, I think, was just jab you. Just jab, jab, jab. Gladiator 2, Gladiator 2, Gladiator 2, Equalizer 3.
Okay, all right. I was definitely going to challenge you there. All right, let's get to this. What, I guess, maybe this is the big picture. Maybe it's too big of an answer here and you can't remember. What's your favorite regular season Chiefs win? I remember when I was a kid, ooh, I think they were playing the Chargers. Maybe I'm off just a little bit here. And Dick Vermeil made, I think it was the Raiders, actually, now going back. And Dick Vermeil made the decision to go for it late in the game, and they did an over-the-top with Larry Johnson. I was at that game. It was a great regular season win. Like, when Mahomes' career is over and we start to make lists of all the, hey, this was the 10 greatest games that Mahomes played in, from a regular season perspective, that's going to be near the top of the list. That's a pretty improbable win for them to essentially block an extra point to win.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly will be one of the most memorable. I don't know if it will be anyone's favorite or the most fun or the most impressive from Mahomes or any of that. The Mahomes one that stands out to me is very easy for me because it's the only Mahomes game I've seen in person. But it was the 49ers game, his first home game as a starter, I think. It was his week three, so maybe it was second. I can't remember exactly. But he did the first sort of now like vintage Mahomes little run backwards, loop around, come around and fire an out. Absolute dart to, I believe, Chris Conley in the back of the end zone. I remember the noise that Therese Paylor made in the press box that day in reaction to that moment. So that's my Mahomes one as my like individual one of one. But that's, again, that for me is because I got to be there in person and to see Mahomes do that really felt like it was kicking off something of what the Mahomes era was going to look like. Within the last like several years, you almost have to go pre-first Super Bowl, I think, for them to feel like they mattered as much, because obviously all the postseason success has totally changed the scale for what a meaningful game is for this team.
I mean, they've had four games like this season where we talked about this yesterday on the show. I mean, I think the only team that we followed over the course of the last 30 years that went all four of those games were the Chiefs. So whether it was the week one game against the Baltimore Ravens, week two against the Cincinnati Bengals, where they get the penalty on fourth down, they then go down the field and score, last week against Tampa Bay where they win in overtime, and this past week against the Denver Broncos. Like, they've had four of those shoulda, coulda, woulda games, but the difference between the great teams and the good teams are you find a way to win. We watch Sunday Night Football. There's no reason that the Lions should have won that game. You don't throw five interceptions on the road and then beat a playoff team the way that they did. You also don't win some of the games the way that the Chiefs have unless you were just a special team.
Yeah, and this is something I talked about last night during my show there, that there is always this kind of like two faces of the coin for me of this idea of finding a way to win, because that idea and that statement's very ethereal. That's very vibes-based, right? But then you have the concrete side on the other side of preparation and talent and execution. And when you flip that coin, you have to be just as confident in both elements. The concrete thing, like with the blocked extra point, they saw that on film. They knew they could bowl the guard over. Teams have been doing it. The Chiefs did it. And then Leo Chanel does it in the biggest moment. But also Derek Nnadi pulls his guy down. George Karlaftis wins. Justin Reed gets a great jump off the edge and it freaks out the tackle there as well. They totally defeat that side of the line. The Broncos put it on the correct hash mark for them to do that. that against. That's preparation, that's execution, that's talent, and that's confidence in your players. So that's the concrete stuff. The vibey ethereal thing is that I think if you're a Chiefs player, you have to go out there for that final kick, like in a position where you're winning there, but if this kick goes through, the game is over. You have to have in your head at that point, if you're Leo Chanel or any of those guys, we're the Kansas City bleeping Chiefs. We definitely can block this kick. I think I'm going to block this kick. There is a level of confidence that this team has earned by being back-to-back champions, not just all the fluky or, you know, the by a toenail types of wins in the regular season. They've earned this confidence of, yeah, well, when it comes down to crunch time, we're going to be the team that comes out. And then they put in the work throughout the Monday through Saturday on that to be able to execute it. Like, sometimes it feels almost hacky to me to say, like, oh, you know, they find a way to win because they're a special team. Well, they do, and they are. And it's not just something that feels that way. You have evidence to be able to track that they are producing games like this, winning games like this, because that's who they are, and these are the types of games that they're comfortable in, that they win seemingly constantly. It's a perfect little conversation to have around the dynasty of this era and trying to figure out how they can be so special, especially when they're trailing or on third downs or any of those other clutch moments.
That's why I hate the conversation about the referees, and I get it. We all do this. As a Missouri fan, I poke fun at Kansas because they always get the home whistle. We did this against the New England Patriots, how you could never touch Tom Brady. Like, this comes with being the best and just being better than everybody else, but it feels like the referee conversation sort of undermines their greatness, and they just execute better than you. The Chiefs did not win on Sunday because of a call that happened in the second quarter. No, the Broncos didn't score in the second half of the game. The Broncos had less than 50 yards from scrimmage in the second half of that game. And when you have essentially an extra point is 33 yards, you're at a 35-yard kick to win the game, and you get it blocked, I don't want to hear any conversation about the officials. You weren't good enough to win this game. Try again next week.
No, I'm with you across the board there. Not only does that refereeing discussion, in air quotes there, undermine the Chiefs' greatness, it's kind of cruel that the Chiefs' greatness enables that conversation, because with every single team in sports gets breaks from the referees sometimes. It's a hard job. They make mistakes. So sometimes you have it in your favor. Sometimes you have it go against you. But when you are a team, as we just covered, that constantly makes the most of the moments that they have, when they constantly do seem comfortable down to the wire, when you get one extra gasp of air because the refereeing crew missed a call that ended up benefiting your team, no team is more likely to capitalize on that than the Kansas City Chiefs, because they capitalize on more of those moments in more of those situations, those memorable late game situations in particular. They capitalize on those without any help from the refereeing better than anybody else. So when you do get that sort of cynical glimmer of light of, the refs bailed them out, what seems to always happen, no one ever talks about this, but when the Chiefs get, quote, bailed out by the refs, and then the Chiefs have the football in their hands still, then they do the thing that wins the game. Very rarely does the game end on an objective call from a referee. But when the Chiefs take advantage of that, nobody talks about the Chiefs taking advantage of that opportunity. They talk about how they got another opportunity that they always seem to go on to maximize. Again, it's all so intertwined, and the sooner the NFL world leaves the refereeing conversation behind, I think the sooner we'll all be happier and more appreciative of what we're seeing.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for Sports Illustrated. Let me ask you one AFC question, and we'll start to transition to this week's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. I think the Broncos are going to make the postseason. If you look at it right now, I would say there are five locks to make the postseason in the AFC. I also think the Chargers are more than likely going to make it too. We're talking about a team that is 6-3, and I think that 9 wins is going to be enough. I just can't see what their coaching and their quarterback and schedule. I just don't see a scenario in which Los Angeles only wins 2 games the rest of the season. I think they're going to make the postseason. So that leaves to me, you have Denver, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati that are probably fighting for that 7 spot. Which of those 3 teams do you think is making the postseason out of the Broncos, Colts, or Bengals?
I think that the best team and the scariest team is clearly the Bengals. I think the Broncos might be in a healthier position to actually make that happen, which is crazy considering all of the factors and all the names I won't waste your time by naming on the Bengals that we're well acquainted with. But the Broncos having seemingly, and obviously this wasn't the case 2 weeks ago, but was the case on Sunday, the Broncos seeming to have a pretty high ceiling and a pretty high floor on that defense, and then being able to do enough against most opposing defenses, it makes me feel like they are the like quintessential seven seed who sneaks in and then gets the doors blown off of them by Buffalo or Baltimore in the first round, whoever, or I guess maybe Pittsburgh. I got to start respecting Pittsburgh in that hunt at least, even though I don't think they're on the same level as obviously the Chiefs, Buffalo, Baltimore, and then maybe we could argue about Pittsburgh and Houston the way that the Texans have sort of slipped up. But I think the scariest team there is the Bengals. I think the Broncos might have the best path. I'm so out on the Colts. They threw their own season into the dumpster, and they have no one to blame but themselves for how they've handled all of that. So I don't want to hear about the Colts until Anthony Richardson's playing quarterback again.
Are you bearing Miami, or do you think there's a chance they get into it?
3-6 is so tough.
I agreed.
I haven't looked at the rest of their schedule, so I don't know exactly how many games they have against the Jets and Patriots the rest of the way. Like, that might be a little bit of a perk if they've still got, I think, a couple of those still coming. Yeah, they get each of those. Actually, they get the Jets twice and the Patriots one more time. So their schedule might play nice there to some extent. But right now, I think it's probably just one team out of the East.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here for a couple more minutes, just getting his thoughts on the Chiefs as we're starting to transition towards the Buffalo Bills game. All right, both of these guys are starting to practice this week between Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu. Who do you think is more important in the second half of the season? Do you think it's Pacheco or Omenihu?
I think, now this, there's a big asterisk here, but I think it's Charles Omenihu if he looks anything like Charles Omenihu. The version of him that we were seeing throughout the playoffs last year, and especially with the way that this defensive end rotation has gotten more depth and some kind of interesting, small sample sizes from guys like Felix and Udike Uzomah. The way that that rotation could come together, where Felix becomes the fifth defensive end in the rotation, I think, behind Karloftis, Omenihu, Dana, and Uche, that group is pretty spicy. And again, if it looks like Charles Omenihu, he might be the best pure edge rusher on this team, not including Chris Jones. Again, you know, pure edge rusher. So if he looks like Omenihu, it's him, and I think he becomes one of the five most important players on that defense. The concern, of course, is that he tore his ACL in January, and an ACL recovery, getting back to the field, is only even part of it. So my hesitance there is that in the first few weeks, he doesn't really look like himself. It's going to be a little bit harder to project sort of the optimism that I have there now. Pacheco, I feel great about, because he can just come in and try to help Kareem Hunt just survive to the end of this season. And then having both of those guys in the playoffs, also a legitimate gain. But the potential of Charles Omenihu playing like himself and looking like himself, I think, is legitimately huge for a defense that's already excellent.
Let me ask you that same question now with Minihu and Juju Smith-Schuster. Who do you think is more important to get back and get healthy and get right? Do you think it's the DN or the wide receiver?
I'll give it to Minihu again. I think he's a more special player at this point in his career. I think what he could do for the Chiefs defense is a little bit more advantageous to what Juju can do for the offense. But I do think if you do get Juju back out there, maybe you start to see a little bit of a throttling down for Xavier Worthy and a little bit for Justin Watson. Not that Watson and Smith-Schuster play a lot of the same snaps, but maybe you can begin to kind of recalibrate around your absolutely ancient receiving core of DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce at the middle of it. But I think Omenihu, if I got to wave a magic wand that have one injured player on this team, not named Hollywood Brown or Rashee Rice. I'll step away from them. After those two receivers, if I get to magically heal any player to 100% on the Chiefs injury report, it's Charles Omenihu.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here. Josh, I imagine that this is mind-blowing to you. Can you imagine if I had told 16-year-old you, hey, coming up in about 20 years or so, the Chiefs are going to be the Patriots, and they're going to have their version of the Colts? Like, you and I are around the same age. We grew up in the same era of the NFL. You knew every year, it felt like for a decade, that the Patriots and Colts were going to play each other, or the Patriots and Broncos were going to play each other. They were always going to be big nationally televised games. And for the most part, they were going to determine who ended up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Bowl, and that is basically what we have now here. Like, you can't really have a much more important regular season game between two teams and what we're talking about here. If Kansas City wins this game, they go up 4 against Buffalo, and there's just not enough time for Buffalo to come back, I think, and get the one seed. If the Chiefs lose this game, you're only one up with, what, 6-7 weeks to go? It is still very possible, even with the undefeated start, everything the Chiefs have done is so great. They can lose the one seed if they lose on Sunday. Again, I can't think of a game that has more regular season implications, and this is just how it was when you and I were coming up with the Patriots and the Colts.
It's really remarkable. I remember with, like, genuine clarity having conversations with one of my friends when we were both 13 and having the conversation of, do you think the Chiefs will ever win a Super Bowl before we die? That was a real conversation, and honest to God, we both agreed that the answer was no. Like, it was not even a thing worth expecting or hoping for. They didn't win a playoff game for the first 20 years or so, 18 years of my life. I mean, it was an absolute, like, beyond afterthought. You felt foolish for thinking about the best case scenario with this organization. And so being here now, no, I'm glad that you mentioned it. And I feel like we should always have some responsibility to continue to underline that fact. Cause I don't know a single Chiefs fan over the age of, I don't know, 8 now, maybe, who ever thought that this would be a future that we ever had in the cards. To the point of this game, you're right. It means more for Buffalo because the Chiefs can end it here. And obviously that's, you know, meaningful for Kansas City as well. But The Bills' chance, and it's a regular season game, and this is always going to have a little bit of a cloud over it, like the Niners game was not a Super Bowl rematch, right? It was a regular season game. But the Bills have such a distinct relationship with this team, like you just reflected on, of knowing who the villain was going to be, knowing who their boogeyman was going to be. And in this instance, they haven't even gotten the success of the Peyton Manning Colts, where they actually have made it to a Super Bowl, where they have actually won one, where they have gotten over on this Chiefs team yet. So they can't exercise those demons on Sunday. But if all of a sudden it's 9-1 versus 8-2, or I guess 9-2, I can't remember when the Bills' bye was scheduled, but if it's one, yeah, they'd be 9-2. If it's one loss separating the two of them there, and the Bills feel like, with obviously having the tiebreaker, the Bills feel like they're closing the gap, and now all of a sudden all those narratives about the Chiefs maybe not being a legit 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, 9-0 that's followed them every week, a little bit of those cracks will begin to show, and some of those cracks will just be had in, like, national media conversations that aren't going to permeate the Chiefs locker room. But I think this game means a lot to the Bills. I hope it means a lot to the Chiefs, because being able to look down to the rest of the schedule and even seeing those games against the Texans and Steelers and say, we're not stressed about where that's going to put us in the AFC, because we have the tiebreaker over all of the top contenders, with that Christmas game against the Steelers being the one left pending. It would be a hell of a way to a mindset to have for the second half of the season. It'd really be incredible.
Last question here. You and I, again, are around the same age, so we remember Raider Hater Week and how big the games were against the Broncos. Do you think the Bills are now their rival?
Ooh, yeah, I think probably so. Yeah, I was thinking also when you asked about the best regular season games ever, Jamal Charles catching 4 touchdowns is very high up there. I think for the Chiefs, well, you know what? I'm actually going to amend that. I'll say no. I think it's the Bengals still, because the Bengals do have one playoff success over this team, and those teams hate each other. That's legitimate. I think the Chiefs and Bills respect each other as rivals, maybe in that Brady Manning type of way. I think Chiefs-Bengals is more of the Raider-Hater week that we grew up in so toxically.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show. He has now has his suspension lifted to the show. Now, Briscoe, let me tell you this, because I don't want you to get too excited. You can always be suspended again. Like, you watch the NBA, Draymond gets suspended, he comes back. That doesn't mean the next time you get a flagrant foul, that doesn't mean that you can just walk scot-free. So you still are walking on thin ice, but you know what? You had a great appearance on the show. I'm happy you were on the show this week. I don't want to have to take your privileges away again, sir.
If I am the Draymond Green of this show, that is a role I can live with.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show. He does fantastic work with Sports Illustrated covering the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk more about this over the course of the week. You guys know where I am on pro sports rivalries. I think that professional sports rivalries are based in competition, where I think that college rivalries are based on tradition. And I think those are two different things. Alabama and Auburn are always going to be rivals. Kansas and Missouri are always going to be rivals, where in professional sports, it's based on two teams that are fighting for the exact same thing. And it can transfer. I do think at one point that it was the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that it shifted over the course of the last 6 to 8 months or so. I think it's Buffalo. Think about last season. You had the Kadarius Toney game, and you also played your first road playoff game under Patrick Mahomes, and it was in Buffalo. I think that Buffalo right now is at the top of the power rankings of who is the Chiefs' rival. What team are you most worried about beating you in the postseason? I think number one, your answer would be nobody. And then number two, if you had to answer, I think your answer would be Buffalo. I think they have become the rival for the Chiefs. But again, that could change at any given moment, because your rival is who's the team that can best stop you from meeting your goals. I don't need to hear the same Raiders and Broncos stories that we've heard our whole lives. We're not creating new memories in that rivalry. The Chiefs are creating new memories in games like Sunday against the Buffalo Bills when the one seed feels like it's at stake. You can bury Buffalo this week. They're not overcoming a four-game deficit from Thanksgiving on to catch the Kansas City Chiefs. So they need to prepare to face you guys in January at Arrowhead. That is a massive advantage for the two-time defending Super Bowl champion. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk about Denzel Washington. Earlier today on the Today Show, said that his career is winding down and he only has a couple of more movies. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in about 30 minutes, we are going to be joined by Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, Denzel Washington was on the Today Show, and he gave a couple of updates about his career. Let's hear from maybe the greatest actor alive.
For me, it's about the filmmaker, especially at this point in my career. I'm only interested in working with the best. I don't know how many more films I'm going to make. It's probably not that many. I want to do things I haven't done. I played Othello at 22. I'm about to play Othello at 70. After that, I'm playing Hannibal. After that, I've been talking with Steve McQueen about a film. After that, Ryan Coogler is writing a part for me in the next Black Panther. After that, I'm going to do the film Othello. After that, I'm going to do King Lear. After that, I'm going to retire.
So Denzel Washington is already setting up his exit strategy. He is telling you that he is nearing the end of his career. We wanted to talk about Denzel, and there was only one person to do that with. It's our dear brother, Steven Spector here, the boss man. You'll hear him later in the week, Inspector says. So we are going to do a what is your favorite Denzel Washington movie draft.
Ooh, yeah.
Now we have decided the order. I have the first pick. Rob has the second pick. You have the third and the fourth pick. We're going to pick your starting five of Denzel movies.
Okay.
You guys know how we do this. There shouldn't be any questions. You usually have questions.
This is my lane. This is my alley. I'm ready to go. I think we should have to do your favorite line from the movie. If you're a Denzel fan and you're drafting these movies, me, you, and Rob, you should have to say one of your favorite lines from the movie.
Okay, all right. I think we can do that.
First round only. Second, top.
Okay, I think we
can do that. Top two picks. You got to say your favorite line from said movie.
All right, let's do that here. I have the number one overall pick. Hit me, Rob. This is tough for me because this is not my favorite Denzel movie, but I think it has to be the number one overall pick. You will be playing basketball at Pelican Bay when I get done with you. 23-hour days. I got to take training day with the number one overall pick.
I can't fault you.
That was like Andrew Luck at 1-1.
I had to take him. Again, that's not my personal favorite. Maybe I'll get to take my personal favorite later on in the movie. But the best Denzel movie, you can't let training day be the third overall pick.
Denzel had to be crooked before he took it.
Yeah, I got to do it. I got to take training day 1-1.
I don't fault you for that.
At 2 overall, I'm taking American Gangster. The loudest one in the room is usually the weakest one. That's El Paca. You blot that. You don't rub. American Gangster is number 2.
I think that's a little high to take American Gangster. And I love American Gangster. A little high.
So I get back-to-back picks here.
You get back-to-back here. Still, obviously, a lot of value on the board.
Oh, man. Okay. Remember the Titans.
Okay.
He got game. Right?
That's, yeah.
I mean.
Incredible value.
He got game, I saw with my grandmother. She had to put the sweater over my eyes for a majority of the movie.
That's what I was wondering. How did that work?
I did not get to see the assistant coaches. Let's put it that way.
Odd grandmother pick.
Yeah.
Well, like oh, but again, what's going on? But remember, in 1996, when a movie comes out, like there's no internet. You see a preview like, oh, kid wanting to go to college to play basketball. It was kind of about that.
Completely understand. All right, Rob, you have the fifth overall pick
Inside
here.
Man.
That is a really good movie, and it's one that always pops up my streaming services.
Inside Man's so good.
I love that movie.
Honestly, Denzel's fantastic in the movie. I think it was Clive Owen. I think he's he steals the show in that one. But yes, yeah, Inside Man.
I'm a big fan of that movie. All right, I feel great here. I can take movies that I really enjoy. With the number 6 overall pick, I will take Malcolm X. You know I love. You have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. And I'm also, with the 7th pick, going to take another personal favorite of mine, Hospital Under New Management, John Q. Incredible
movie. I wasn't going to take John Q because I just wanted you to have it.
You know I love John Q. Sick. Help. Oh, my goodness. What a film. John Q.
I feel like I'm just racking up the wins here in the 2 spot because my 3rd pick's going to be Philadelphia.
Oh, what a terrible pick.
That might be his best acting job.
Yeah, that movie might not have got drafted.
Rob, I wouldn't have taken.
Incredible.
I wouldn't have taken. I can't believe you let this slip to me. I wish you had more time. Man on Fire, Dakota Fanning, young Dakota Fanning. Oh my God, I love Man on Fire.
You
want to
talk about a movie that was always on FX?
It still is.
Man on Fire was always on there.
I'm going to butcher the line, but when he brings up the bazooka to that like old Mexican man's apartment, he's like, I'm the messenger between God and Satan, and I'm here to arrange the meeting. Oh man, goosebumps. Man on Fire, number 3.
Philadelphia is a terrible
Rob, what are you doing?
Awful top 10.
Atrocious. The question is, which is going to fall to me in the 4th, 5th round? All right, I'm going to take, I don't think Equalizer is going to get to me because I think you're going to take Equalizer with one of your next 2 picks. I'm going to take Equalizer in the 4th round because I think I'm going to get away with my 5th round pick because I don't think either one of you take it.
Okay.
The first Equalizer is very good.
I think the first 2 are actually really good. Let me update you on this. Denzel Washington said his career is winding down. We're taking a break from sports. We're talking a little Denzel Washington. I have 3 picks so far. I've drafted Training Day, Malcolm X, and John Q. Rob has American Gangster, Inside Man, and Philadelphia.
Rob's done. Just Minnesota Vikings, your 4th pick.
Speck has 4 of his 5 movies. He has He Got Game, Man on Fire, Remember the Titans, and Equalizer. Those are 4 of your 5 movies. All right, Rob, the pick is on you.
I'll be taking Flight.
That was coming up for me.
I actually really wanted Equalizer here. I was hoping you would think it would slip through because Equalizer 1 is really... Equalizer 2 is still good, but not Equalizer 1 good.
Have you seen Equalizer 3 in the movie in Italy?
Yeah, I've seen all 3 of them, yeah.
It's a drop down. It's still... That's a good FX movie.
But yeah, I will happily take Flight. I enjoy Flight.
All right, I actually feel really
taking
good.
Taking all of his serious roles.
I actually feel really good about this. I'm going to take Safe House. It's just a fun Denzel watch. I'm going to take Safe House as one of my movies. I'm also going to take, for my final movie, I'm going to take Antoine Fisher. Antoine Fisher for my last Denzel Washington movie. Just 2 movies that everybody had on DVD back in the day. Everybody had Antoine Fisher on DVD.
I have it.
Great movie.
With Boobie Miles?
So I am done with my movies. Training Day, Malcolm X, John Q, Safe House, and Antoine Fisher. Those are my five Denzel Washington movies.
Rob's going to take Othello here. He's already got Philadelphia in flight.
Rob's about to take the Bone Collector. That's what he's about to. Pelican Brief.
Oh, my God.
I'm taking Unstoppable. I like Unstoppable a lot. Unstoppable, I don't know why. There's something about Unstoppable I really enjoy.
I wrote down 16 Denzel Washington movies, and that wasn't even one of them.
He was about to take the Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
I don't know what it is. It's a fifth-round pick. It's a movie I enjoyed. I don't know why I enjoy it. It's not elite by any standards, but him and Chris Pine have good on-screen chemistry. There's just something about it I enjoy.
It was about a runaway train in which they had like 2 hours to solve the problem.
I just want to say that of all the Denzel and then random white guy movies, he picked the worst of them. He picked the worst. Safe House is better. Two Guns better than that.
Oh, I hate Two Guns.
I like Two Guns.
Two Guns is fun. Yeah, Two Guns is the same as Safe House. Yeah,
Two Guns gets too convoluted with the story. They're trying to tell a story. Safe House is like, we're shooting.
Rob, I gotta be honest, Philadelphia Flight and Unstoppable, I wouldn't have taken any of those three.
I like Flight. Flight's good.
It's fine.
Flight's good.
I think you guys missed out some other classic 90s Denzel. I wouldn't have taken any of those. So I'm down to two, The Siege and Crimson Tide. I think I'm taking Crimson Tide, him and Gene Hackman underwater, Russian submarine fight. Give me Crimson Tide.
All right. We have done our Denzel Washington draft here. Let us know on the text line, 913-586-7965. Who do you think won between Spectre and I?
I'm going to tell you right now, because if you text in Rob, I'm going to cancel the service. As the boss of this station, if you text in Rob wins this draft, the text line's going away.
Is that worse than the person who texted in and said, how come no one picked Drumline?
It's the draft. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.